Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us. I am so excited about this next guest. I've been in clubhouse rooms with her and heard her speak many times. And, you know, she's somebody I consider part of my family, my Gupta family. And just through encountering her and hearing her story, and then for the last couple of days, just going through her background, this truly is one of the most amazing people I've ever encountered. And I don't say that lightly. And let me just read something. First of all, she's coming from Kenya right now. She's going live from Kenya. So there might be a little delay or whatever, but we'll work through it. But let me just read this right here. Issa Correll, an internationally acclaimed social entrepreneur, CEO, and founder of OVI Healthcare, a dually licensed U.S. physician assistant and Kenyan clinical officer, received the Champion in Global Humanitarian Service Award in Dubai. The ceremony saw the attendance of Her Highness, forgive me, Jawahir bin Khalifa Al Khalif of Dubai, who also presented Correll with the award. Correll, also a best-selling author, is the youngest ever recipient of the Muhammad Ali Humanitarian Award for Global Citizenship, an honor she shares with fellow laureates U.S. President Jimmy Carter, Christina Aguilera, Michael J. Fox. So just I brought that up just because, you know, she is a global humanitarian based on intention and giving unconditionally and caring about somebody else. And, you know, she's had her ups and downs just like anybody, but, you know, she's fought through. And, you know, she has hospitals for orphans, you know, life-saving medical procedures and things like that. So I don't want to get too more further in that. I just want to bring Issa on. So I will do that. There she is.
Hi. That was such a kind introduction. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you for, you know, taking your time to do this. I can't say enough how amazing I think you are. I'm not the only one, so I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Well, thank you.
So just before we get into it, what is your background?
My background, I grew up in Kentucky, Southern Kentucky. I studied to be a physician associate. Goodness, there's a lot between those years, but yeah, pretty simple upbringing. I was a shy little kid, struggled with dyslexia in school, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, and then was blessed enough to just be hit like a bus with this vision, and you know, it's all kind of history from there.
So what is, just out of curiosity, like, what does your day-to-day look like?
Oh, goodness. It looks a lot different now than it used to, and I'm sure we'll cover that, but it's pretty balanced. I have to admit, I have an amazing team here. You know, I live in a hospital, so that's a little bit different. I'm on the fifth floor, the little penthouse on top of the hospital, but we have an amazing team. We have over 60 staff members here, and they run the place. They do an amazing job. I can barely take credit. It's definitely my vision, but partnering with the locals has made my life just a dream. So, you know, I get up, I exercise, and I do a lot of work online. Really, I'm an activist. You know, I love to do things like this. I love to share my story. I trained as a clinician, but once I got here, found that the most powerful thing I really did have was my voice and an ability to inspire other people with my story. And so I don't do so much clinical work, but because of sharing. And because of people who are donating and supporting us, we're able to hire, you know, tenfold the doctors that we could have if I were down there doing it myself. So,
well, that's amazing. Well, hats off to the team, because we thank you guys for everything that you do just for the world. So, okay, who is Iza?
Yeah, who is Iza? You know, I'm a mom. I absolutely love being a mother. It's my favorite thing in the world. I would get a lot of crap for saying it's the easiest thing I've ever done, but it's definitely the easiest love I've ever known. And I love being a mom, not just to my girls, but to, you know, any child who allows me the role. I'm passionate about loving people. I'm passionate about experiencing the world. So much of my life, I was really, really depressed. I was like the saddest little kid. If you look at pictures, I just struggled with depression and anxiety my entire life. And now to actually be a person who would say, you know, I wouldn't trade my life for anybody else's. No celebrity, no person in the world. I actually get to experience bliss and magic every single day doing what I'm doing. I don't put on a front like this is suffering, like this is hard. You know, we see hard things, but it is truly the most beautiful life. And I'm just present to it. I'm just in awe of getting to be here every single day.
That was such a beautiful answer. You almost made me cry. You said, well, that was question one. So how do you define success?
Defining success for me is really freedom. Freedom to do exactly what you want to do, to make the impact that you want to make, feeling in alignment with your purpose. I think that so often we get set on the goal. I know for so much of my life, it was one goal, next goal, next goal, next goal. Like it was just if I get into PA school, just if I pass my boards, just if I get this hospital, just if I can find this or get that or get that, and, or just if I get this award, and then you obtain it and it's like, you don't have that sense of satisfaction. You're just like, it's a tick and then you move on to the next thing. So for me, success is loving what you do so much that you're in love with the process. Every little step of everything you're doing is just making you, you know, so full of joy. And that's what I've very, very recently found. And among like any award or any experience I've ever had, sometimes it's just the simplest moments where I'm like watching the sunset and holding my daughter and I'm like, oh, this is flipping success. Like this is the magic. This is what I'm alive for.
And what was there something that kind of, was there a big awakening or was there something that happened that showed you that, or was it a gradual thing?
I'd say both. I think that I've been through a lot of things in life. there's too many points to really pinpoint all the different things, but I'm trying to think of a singular moment. I don't know that there was a singular moment other than just waking up and just recognizing this is my one life. Like this, and I'm just being present to the details. For so long, I was not present to the details. I had my head down in a book or, you know, making these plans or stressing out. And the most beautiful thing I ever found was the less I'm doing, the less I'm occupying my mind and the less I'm stressed out, actually, the more things that are happening. Up until, I would say, it might have even been, you know, I would say even around March, genuinely, of this year, I would work for 20 hours a day. Mm. 20 hours a day. We're talking like 6 months ago. And I loved it. I thought I loved it. I thought, like, that's what I found so much pride in, was how much work I could do and how I didn't require any sleep. I thought that was my identity. That's what people knew about me. And now, you know, I don't live that life anymore. And the funny thing is, I'm so much more productive and the impact is so much larger because, you know, your life changes. Your life changes when you're not in that state and when you can be present for people and you can love people and you can pay attention to, you know, the other people that you're working with, when you can pay attention to your children, when you respect yourself enough to let yourself have a full night of rest, that's when you can feel successful. That's when you can feel really good about your life. Like I'm not into the overworking thing anymore. Work really smart, but that was definitely the biggest change I think I ever did for myself was allowing myself to rest and allowing myself to just take care of me. I used to think that as a nonprofit leader, I had to suffer. Like people would only give me donations because I was doing something that they couldn't do. You know, that's what I thought I had to live into. And what I found is you know, if I'm thriving, I'm serving these children from a place of overflow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you join in the suffering doesn't end. It really just increases. You know, it's so hard to serve people when you aren't even full yourself. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge transition for me, was just, oddly enough, shifting focus to self, shifting focus to my own health. And then from that abundance, I really get to see, see the world through new eyes, genuinely, in the last 6 months.
And, you know, there's been something similar for me in the last 6 months. And I think I'd be remiss without pointing out the one common denominator for both of us is that morning room and that family, you know, and just being able to talk those things through. And you know, I can hear your struggle, you can hear mine. We come from different places. So I just had to point that out, because there's a lot of us. I mean, if you look at Samantha, and just like in the last few months, she is on fire. Like, she rode in a helicopter yesterday. Like, it seems like every weekend she's just pushing the boundaries, you know, more and more. So
Your community is everything. Yeah. People who give you permission to thrive, people who support you, you know, in your success, in those happy times. A lot of people, they back out in those times. They don't want to see it. But when you're surrounded by people who really do want to see you win, the whole story changes.
So what drives you, Issa? What's your why?
I really, my biggest why is I don't want to see a world where children are alone. I don't like suffering. I don't like people suffering in general, but particularly speaking up for people who don't have a voice, you know, using all that I've been blessed with to really advocate and to tell people, you know, what the potential is, and to not just people who are supporting the kids themselves, the staff members themselves. You know, it doesn't end when we cure their disease, like actually making their mindset like a more beautiful place. And they leave this hospital not just thinking, okay, well, now I'm healthy, I can go back to school, but okay, I'm going to be an astronaut, I'm going to be a pilot, you know, I'm going to be the top doctor in Kenya, I'm going to go to this university. Like, we have them really dream specifically. Even our staff members, some people came here, they were widows with, you know, first grade educations maximum. And they started making an income here as caregivers, being like hospital mamas, taking care of the orphans who would come without parents. And now they've used their income to like start a farm or start their own little project or start their own business or a restaurant. And so it's been so beautiful just in 4 years to see some of the kids who have stayed here for that long in the long-term unit, like how they've transformed, but also our staff members, some people who've even moved on beyond us, you know, they go to new facilities, they go to bigger cities. And I love seeing that transformation.
That's beautiful. So this, I struggle with this question, and I have yet to rewrite it, right? So, because I don't believe in failures. But so let's just say, how has a setback or an apparent failure set you up for later success? And do you have a favorite?
There's so many. I really used to struggle with confidence. I was bullied a lot as a kid. And anytime anything would happen, if I felt like I failed, I would just be so discouraged. And it would take me 100 years back. You know, we'd just be at ground zero. But now, you know, I've lived through a broken neck. I've had multiple car wrecks. I mean, so many crazy things. People threaten to take you to prison. There's things in the developing world you just can't imagine. Like, imagine never having detention and then someone showing up being like, you know, trying to get a bribe and telling you you're going to prison or things like that. I mean, so many failures, so many people. I mean, I literally failed 2 classes in undergraduate. People are really in awe of that, because to get into any type of advanced medical program, it's unheard of. But, you know, I struggled. Like, it was hard for me. And people really let me know that I didn't belong. I always say, you know, no one was running a headline, girl dreams of building hospital in Kenya. Like, it was after I made it happen that people saw the vision, that people started supporting. And so I think every single failure has just given me now, anytime something falls through, number one, I trust that something better is coming. But number two, it adds to this story where I know I can inspire so many more people. Because once upon a time, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope no one ever knows I failed a course. You know, I hope no one ever figures out that I'm dyslexic. I hope no one ever knows that I did this or I did this. And now I'm like, I want everyone to know every stupid thing I ever did so that they can know what they are capable of. Because here's the thing, I can do this with my own two hands, you know, for my whole life and maybe reach several million children. Maybe, you know, but if I can tell my story and find all these other people in the world who think that they're losers, who are super depressed, who think they don't have potential, and inspire them to do something even bigger than me, that's where you get to see billions. That's where you get to see the entire world change. So mm-hmm. I'm very open about like, hey, this is where I've just done it wrong. And this is where I could have done it 1,000 times better, but learn from me, you know, and show up because You're never too much of a loser to change the world. Like, I actually think that we do an even better job. There's a certain level of naivety mm-hmm. that is just key. I mean, I think going into something and just believing I'm 1,000% going to do that takes a little bit of ignorance. So, you know, just going with it, knowing that every single trial is going to make you more inspiring to other people who need to be doing things just like what you're doing.
Wow. I love that. You said you're never too much of a loser to change the world. I love that. Yeah. So, because you're absolutely right. And the seeds you plant today, you know, you, or should I say it like this, you don't plant a seed today and eat the fruit today, right? So when you plant seeds, you never know how big of an effect you can have just from being kind, just from, you know, having a conversation with people, let alone intentional working, you know, so I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be investment of money, time, energy.
What's one of the best what I've ever made?
Investments.
Ooh, I love this. I have to say my mentor. My mentor is my everything. I met her, actually, it was crazy. I had a super lucky weekend. I ended up meeting the Guptas in Dubai and I met my mentor the same weekend. And we went, you know, I went with the Guptas to see the Dalai Lama. And I mean, that was a lucky weekend. I think that's really a big moment where my life changed. If we had to pick one, it was probably that weekend. But my mentor, I have to speak so much to her. She lives in Dubai and her name's Malika. And she is just 1,000% present. And she sees me the way that I want to see myself. And I feel like I see myself in a pretty good light, but she sees like all of this potential within me. And she's woke me up to everything I'm capable of. And she's there every hour of the night. I love just, you know, her presence in my life. She's like a fairy godmother, genuinely. And I think that's so important for everyone to have that person, you know, who sees you in a way that you can't quite see yourself. She changed my whole world.
That's nice. Well, thank you, Malika. So what small act of kindness were you once shown that you will never forget?
Ooh, there's so many. Small act of kindness. I can't think of so many small ones because there's so many big ones. I remember there's several that showed up. I have to tell you a big one. Because it came from a very seemingly ordinary thing. But when we first started this hospital, we run on personal donations and we did not have a lot of money and we happened to get this hospital by a miracle, by a donor. But the most moving thing I'd ever experienced in my life was one day when someone called me and they told me they were going to commit $100,000 to our organization. They only made $130,000 a year for their entire family. They were committed to living in this big city on $30,000 for the entire year to give us that $100,000. That ran our hospital for the first year. And that was no small thing, but those were people who you would not look at and think were capable of doing something like that, you know? And just to see the people who made sacrifices, and not even just, I mean, there's so many stories just like that. The first time I ever came to Kenya, someone met me at the library and gave me a book with like money inside of it and was like, I just felt called to give you this. I mean, crazy things like that have changed everything. I wish I could think of like all these tiny things, but I'm flooded with miracles. I could talk about them for years and years and years. It's just every day, and it's the most beautiful thing.
That is beautiful. And and to have a family, and I mean, that's over 80% of your income. Like, you know, that's a lot. Like, that is...
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even know me either. This was a stranger. This was someone on Facebook who just saw the story. I mean, I hadn't even done anything yet, you know? That was the most moving thing, is we barely even opened and they just felt called to that. And amazing how that works.
Wow, it is. That's just, you know, being in sync, you know, being in alignment. It's obvious that you did the dirty work prior to all of this, you know, because it takes a lot of inner work. This is what it is about you that I love, is you're actively seeking and being your greatest self, you know? Yes. And that takes a lot of work to get there. So none of these things were like luck or accident or, you know, things like that. That's just you being in alignment with the universe, you know, and with your own personal mission. So I really admire that.
Yeah, I'll say the universe was kind to me, God, before I was ever kind to it. And I think through that, I mean, I feel so blessed that, you know, I don't know, there was so much abundance, but I will say that when you do start showing up for yourself and you love yourself, that is where it just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. Yeah, you know that. That's how you call it in.
Absolutely. Okay, so in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Sorry, you froze. I heard in the last 5 years, what new belief or behavior?
What new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Oh, so many. Everything. Everything has changed, even within the last, like I said, the last year, the last 6 months. Sleep. Sleep was huge. I mean, people don't know how much they're missing when they don't sleep. I'm telling you, I did that from the time I was a little kid. I would be awake all night. Loving yourself enough to let yourself rest, number one. Number two, having a routine, having hobbies. Just taking time, like every single day, I love to like dance with my kids. We built this little studio, we put mirrors everywhere, and we just have a blast. Giving yourself permission to do those things every single day. I have a ridiculous amount of things in my calendar, and it's just like, it's there. And just having that life that you want to live, that you want to wake up for. I wake up every single day, like, gosh, sometimes even 4 o'clock in the morning recently, no alarm clock. I haven't set an alarm clock in years. And that used to be because I stayed up all night, but now it's just because, you know, I'm eager to get up. I want to do my day. And I think that right there was the biggest shift, was finding my zone of genius. Like, what am I so good at that I can do it for just a few hours a day and like completely change the world? And how can I give other people the freedom to be in their zone of genius, you know? And that's how we all like, that's how we all thrive. We're all happy to show up to work. And so I used to have like all these hats and I do all these things and, you know, I'd run the social media and I do this and I do this and I do that. And someone told me like, better done than perfect. And I think that was one of the best things. Or someone else told me, better to have 1% of 100 people than 100% of yourself. Mm. All of those things just really help you see, you know, the value of humans. And whenever I could start letting go of more, letting go of the perfectionism and just thinking that everything had to be done by me, that's when I got to show up. And I will tell you, people do things better than I do. 100%. Like, that's the funny thing you learn when you're a perfectionist, when you finally let go and let people step up and do things, like they exceed you. And that's the life to live, is when not only are you giving yourself the best life, but everyone around you is thriving too. That's where it really happens.
I love it. Your answers are so good, I keep forgetting my questions. Like, okay. So what advice would you give to a driven kid, you know, coming out of high school, coming out of college, entering the real world?
Goodness, I would say really know who you want to be. Know who you want to be, like fall in love with that person passionately. I still do this to this day. I envision myself 5 years from now. And what am I doing? What does that look like? Like, how does she carry herself? What is the primary emotion that she feels every single day? Pick that emotion, because you can have all these goals, but if they're things, you're not going to find happiness. Find out that emotion that you're seeking and seek after that. And then all the goals come out of that. You know, like one of my biggest things I want is freedom. Like, freedom is the goal. That's the emotion that I want to feel all the time. And so by delegation, by sticking to my schedule, all those things, they go to my hierarchical goal of freedom. And so maybe I don't hit $1 million revenue or whatever it is, but if I am still feeling free, and if I'm hitting all these things in the process to that, that's where I get to see success in the process, right? So I would say to a kid coming right out of high school, like, get to know your future self and let your future self guide you. Give yourself grace. Something I was talking to our friend Mimi today, I was telling her, you know, 5 years ago, like, if you did something crazy or when you were a kid, like, do you look at back at yourself with compassion? Or do you look back at yourself and, oh my gosh, I hate myself. I was so stupid. I was this, I was that. Like, most people, like, once it's passed, we can really give ourselves compassion. But today we're going to be cruel. You know, we're going to be like, oh, you're awful. You're gaining weight. You're not getting things done. You're so lazy. But we look at our childhood self and we would never say that. So whenever you're feeling those emotions, if you can just put yourself in that future self and let that person, like, just know that person is going to love you and that person is going to appreciate you for everything you're doing right now. To me, that's very comforting. And so I think if I had known that when I was a teenager, if I had known that when I was first going to college, things wouldn't have seemed so scary, because you can feel alone. You know, coming out of high school was crazy for me. Of all things, I just hated high school. I wanted to be done. I wanted to be done so bad. And I was like, oh, I just wish, like, I didn't even blah, blah, blah. And then literally, like, a month before school ended, I broke my neck in a car accident. I didn't have to go to high school for the last month and a half. But I did have to go to graduation in a giant neck brace, and I regretted it. No, I'm just kidding. It was, I thank God for that. I mean, genuinely, there are so many things. That would be the last thing. I could say so much to high schoolers, because that was a very hard time for me. The last thing I would say is the worst things that happen, the best things that happen to you. Can you imagine, like, what do I do now? You know, I live in a home full of bedridden children. I see thousands of children who are hospitalized every month, and I can walk past their beds and be like, oh, that's not comfortable. Even if they're nonverbal, I've been bedridden. I know what it feels like to be there and to have someone bathe you, or to have someone help feed you, or not being able to walk around, or not being able to take care of yourself. I would break my neck 10 times over to be able to have that empathy, to be able to have that experience and that knowledge to serve my kids. So you don't know what's going to happen. You know, all these things that look like things you would never choose, there's so much redemption down the road when that becomes, like, such an integral part of your purpose. So love yourself. Think ahead. Know that looking back, you're going to have compassion. Just do the best you can. And yeah, know that these terrible, awful things are the catapults. You know, on the other side of suffering is the deepest, deepest, deepest joy. Like, I don't think I would have so much joy if I hadn't been through so many hard things. You know, it just makes you appreciate it that much more.
I agree 100%. And find this interview, come back and watch it and listen to Issa. Just use that, right, that little clip right there. Right. So our mantra here at Deeply Rooted is kill the ego, ignite the soul. What does that mean to you?
Sorry, you got a little bit choppy. I heard ignite. That's the only word I heard.
Kill the ego, ignite the soul. That is our mantra.
What do I think when I hear that?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, I love this. When I think about ego, I just love knowing that you know, that's a part of yourself that is important. You know, it shows you the things you need to take care of. And I love knowing that I'm not my ego. You know, I love knowing that I can be attuned to these thoughts. I used to be so sad because I had these crazy thoughts in my head and I would own every single one of those thoughts as me. And now this concept of an ego, like, my ego is stressed about this. My ego is angry at this person. My ego sees something in this person that I don't like in myself, but my soul is deeply forgiving. My soul is deeply loving. And it's not the noise that's me, it's the soul that's me. And so I don't know. One of the best things I ever did was accept that, you know, accept my ego, try to hide it or get it down. But when I see something, like if I'm critical of someone else, really knowing, oh, like that's my ego seeing something about me. I can't think a bad thought about someone for more than half a millisecond because I'm already focusing back on what I need to change about myself. That's valuable. That's not scary. That's the most beautiful thing. You know, you live life so much more joyously when you can have that inflection.
I love it. I can't even, I don't even have follow-up questions. You're making all the points, Issa. You're killing it.
Thank you. I love your questions. You're good at asking questions. It makes me passionate.
Okay, so here's one I like. We all have that moment in our journeys where we want to call it quits, when we're at our lowest, so to speak. When you reached that point on your path, how did you fight through it?
When I reach those low points on my path, how do I get through it? Was that the question?
Yes. How did you fight through it? Yes.
How did I fight through it? Letting go. That sounds crazy. But really, there are some things in life that I used to put hours and hours and hours and hours and hours into. And if you just let it sit there, it shows up. Like it's wild how that works. But I really do believe we create a lot of our own misery just not by not trusting that it's going to work out for us. One of the biggest things that I do for myself, you know, when other people come to me with any type of drama, any type of crisis, any type of something that, oh my goodness, this is going to fall through, or this person is going to do this, or this person's going to do that, and the whole hospital is going to shut down, or we're going to lose everything, or the funding is crashing, whatever it is, I just look at people straight in the eye and I say, I am not that important. You know, I am not that important. And I say that because I genuinely believe, you know, I'm the vessel that gets to do this. But there's millions of lives that depend on it. And so, you know, when things start going wrong, I'm not thinking, oh, you know, poor me, my organization doesn't have enough funding. I'm thinking, no, like God loves these children even more than I do. And it's going to come. It's going to show up. We aren't getting shut down because these kids depend on this. And so when I take myself out and I stop making every little hard thing in life a personal attack on me or my character or who I've been, and just look at it as like fully trusting, like, in that abundance and in the future of this and what's coming and seeing the value, you know, looking at little kids who looked like bags of bones and now they're up jumping around fat and happy and just dreaming. And, you know, they're the stars of the show. Like they're up on the stage singing. They were like straight up dying. They're going to go on to be president. I mean, literally Barack Obama, his grandfather is from our village. He was a Luo. And so, and both my daughters are Luos. It's so beautiful to think like, the next world leader could be one of my patients, like even of our own country. And so, yeah, I don't look at any child as just, you know, just this small thing or this life or this number. I look at all of these children and know they can do 1,000 times what I've done in my life. And that is what keeps me going when I fail, is knowing it's not about me, it's about them. And I just show up.
That's amazing. So on a day-to-day basis, right? When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do?
Sorry, the questions keep breaking up. I heard on a day that I feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do I do? Is that what you said?
Yes, or I've lost your focus temporarily. What do you do?
When I feel unfocused or overwhelmed, what do? I think that's what you said. It breaks up a little bit.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, that's
I'm pretty good at hearing breaking up. I'm used to this. Like, this is my normal, but I just want to make sure I'm not missing the question.
That was essentially it, yes.
Okay. when I am overwhelmed, I think that being present to the moment, understanding what it is that is bothering you, like really breaking it down, because a lot of times it's not the obvious thing, you know, it's not that this isn't happening. It's 100 other things tied to it. Being grounded, having people in your life who do not freak you out. I used to, like, I was a hometown little pageant girl. I lived in the same town. Everybody knew me. I acquired thousands and thousands and thousands of friends, and I truly knew everyone, and I kept up with everybody, commenting on everyone's things, calling everybody, making sure this family member knew what was going on with this family member, keeping everybody tied into everything. And then one day I learned, like, in order to really live your best life, the circle really needs to be tight. On those bad days, you don't need to have 40 people that you call. You need to have these integral people that you trust and that you know can keep you grounded, because drama breeds drama. And if you call certain people in crisis, if you consult certain people in crisis, you will stay in crisis and you will get deeper into crisis, and they'll tell you about their crisis, and then you'll start manifesting that into your life. And so I think the biggest thing you can do when you're feeling unstable is having those one or two people who you know that you can trust and you can reach out to, and who can look you in the face and be like, get over it. It's not that big of a deal, and you're amazing, and things will be fine. That's what's changed my life, is people who don't feed the drama, people who just love you enough to be like, hey, it's 100% okay, and you're making a big deal out of it. You know, I love those humans. Those are the best humans.
Such great advice. That I needed to hear that personally. Okay, so if you could have one gigantic billboard with a message for that millions of people would see, what would it say and why?
I heard one gigantic billboard, but I watched your other podcast, so I think it's what would I put on it, right? What words would I put on it?
Yes.
Okay, we have this. Goodness, that's such a... I should have thought about it. I didn't know. I thought the questions you asked were safe zone. No, let me think. You know, there's so many things I want people to know, but what would really motivate them? What would motivate them to look farther into it? Trying to think of some of the things that just woke me up. I know there's a quote that I really love, and it said, it kind of relates back to something I went through a couple years ago, but it said one of the best forms of self-care is, you know, choosing not to argue with people who are committed to misunderstanding you. That was big for me. That was really big for me, because I used to want everyone to understand my intentions, because I do believe, hey, I've done some dumb things. There's things that I would have done differently, but my heart has always been really, really pure. And I used to want people to know that so badly, and I wanted to prove to them, but a lot of people just want to hate you, and it's very loving to let them do that, you know, and it's loving of yourself and your own energy. I do think you should admit your faults. I think you should apologize when you're wrong, but when someone is just so ready to get you, like, let them do it and move on with your life. So that would be, I'd probably put that quote on the billboard, because that was a big one for me. And I think so many people don't give themselves permission to just, you know, just move on and see it not as a defeat, but as a victory. Like, I get really proud of myself when I'm like, the way I describe it is, I used to have such a sympathetic response. Like, oh my goodness, like, someone said I was this, or someone said this, or they said this about me as a mom, or they said this about my organization. And I'd get so sympathetic, you know, all the nerves are rushing and I'm sweating and I want to run and I want to scream. And now I don't have that response. It's a parasympathetic response. I'm relaxed. I can look at it very practically. My heart rate doesn't go up. And that's the biggest gift anyone has ever given me in life, is just bullying the crap out of me or like running me to the ground, because now I can be relaxed in those moments and it's peace. Like, I used to get so upset, but I've been through that so many times. I've been criticized so many times that I can truly say it doesn't bother me anymore. And so now every single time someone hurts me or someone does something, I really do have this mindset of, wow, you know, they're making me stronger. Like, I can survive this. Or I get super romantic with myself over, oh my goodness, do you know how you used to would have responded to that? This would have made you cry. This would have made you scream. This would have made you panic. Look how awesome you are. So people, they're tearing you down, and use it as a moment of self-love. Use it as a moment to just be like, wow, look how far we've come. And, you know, next time it's going to be even easier.
I love it. And that's something, and I'm sure you might not be able to hear me. Jess, are you able to hear me? Am I breaking up, like, on the stream? Okay, so, well, I just, I like, it seems...
You're not breaking up. I think I'm hearing you perfect.
Okay, well, see, you know, a constant theme in your story that you've been telling is you've taken everything that was quote-unquote negative and you've used it to propel yourself, you know, and it goes back to what we say all the time in the group is things don't happen to you, they happen for you. And it seems like you really exemplify that and like you've bought that hook, line, and sinker and you're riding with that ideology, you know, and you're such a great example of that. So for the last question, Issa, do you have a song that you would call the soundtrack to your life or a song that you turn to for strength?
A song that I turn to for what?
Strength.
I can't hear your word. A song that strength. I turn to for
strength.
I'm just going to guess the word.
To be strong.
Are you wanting a song that hypes me up or a song that, that makes me strong? What was it? Say it one more time. I'm going to stop talking. Okay.
All right. So a song that you consider the soundtrack to your life.
A
song.
I have to be really cheesy. I have to say When You Wish Upon a Star. It's Disney and I'm a Disney freak. This is a Disneyland themed hospital and it's 1000% that. Like, and A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes. It's a close tie. It's a close tie. But I am a kid. I'm a total kid and I still get hyped up at those songs. And sometimes genuinely when I'm stuck, I will shuffle my music. I'll be like, God, just give me a song. Like, tell me in a song. I do this all the time. And it is always a Disney song or a Christmas song. That's how it happens. And so, no, really, those songs, I like to believe in magic. I like to believe in bliss. I think that my life is better than fairy tales. Like, I get to live my dream every single day. You know, and I really try to emphasize that because if you looked at this when I first started, you'd see headlines that are like, you know, the modern day Mother Teresa or the heart of Africa or mother this or mother that. And like, I'm just like, no, you know, I don't even want to take on that role. Like, I don't even want to make myself look like a martyr or some, like, I'm truly living my dream. I'm living so much more than I ever thought I could. And I like to be present to that because I think there are too many of us in the nonprofit world who are just like, putting on this front of how hard it is and how much we suffer. And I think if more people knew that you can live a completely and totally blissful life and an even more magical life over hard things, you know, showing up. I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound like this is the easiest thing in the world. I mean, we have children who literally die. We see suffering, but like I said, on the other side of that is joy. And when they don't die, when you do get those outcomes, like you can't understand the level of happiness. And so I think that's my thing for everyone. The things that you think are going to kill you are the things that are going to make you into a superhuman. They're the things that are going to define you. And so just go after every single bit of it.
I love it. All of that is so fitting. Even the song choice is like, it's all so fitting, Issa. I just am very thankful that I've encountered you. And you know, that I get to hear your story and I get to, you know, hear your shares, you know, weekly, monthly, daily, whatever. And I just want to thank you. Just like
thank you.
From like the world, from the universe. Like, thank you, Issa. Like, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I didn't hear all of that, but I felt the love and I heard the thank you.
Yeah. And that was the most important thing. Thank you. And I'll leave the floor to you if there's anything that you know, if you want to tell us or anything that you might want to say.
Okay, I heard you now. Anything that I might want to share. Goodness, I think just connecting, you know, if my story resonates with you, if you want to learn more about the children, about the hospital, about my journey, my name, you can find me on, I'm only on Instagram right now. I don't have a Facebook anymore. But yeah, I love to connect with people and I'm always looking for new people to connect with, just that's where the magic happens. Like, even if you don't have all the money to donate, like, so many people have donated their skills, or even like you just giving me the platform, you never know who's going to hear this and what's going to happen. So many of these things, like I said, like the person who gave all that money or who donated to the hospital or all these different things, like they find it through a post or through a share or through someone commenting and tagging. Like, these tiny little gestures, they can mean a whole other million children reach. Like, people just don't know the impact of like the tiniest little things they do. So I would say the biggest share would be to get connected. Make sure you follow us on Instagram so that you can hear the stories, and not to be too shy to reach out, because I love to hear from everyone. And especially if you have a passion for what we do, I would love to connect you to the way to get involved. So thank you, Tony. Well, you're absolutely incredible.
Thank you, Issa. Have a great day. We're going another week we get to tackle and try to be the best we can be. So I appreciate you so much. I love you, sister.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been amazing. Okay. Grateful for you.
Bye. Wow, man. So first of all, like, if you're not tuning in to Deeply Rooted this season, like, I don't know what you're doing with your life. We are having some amazing conversations, and just with the last three people, you know, there's secrets to life right there, right? So thank you guys for tuning in. Check us out on Instagram, The Deeply Rooted Show. Check out the website, thedeeplyrootedshow.com. The podcast is now on Apple, Spotify, whatever, so you can catch this as podcast form. And of course, the Facebook group. If you're not there, you should be there. Other than that, man, I love you guys, man. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Peace.